Amen, and I hope you have that attitude as we begin to study through what a servant's heart is and what a diligent hand is. And our theme verse for this year is Psalm 100 and verse 2. Why don't you open your Bibles there? Psalm 100, and in a moment we'll be reading through the entire psalm. This morning's message is entitled A Diligent Hand and a Servant's Heart, and we're going to be looking at the possibility of serving Christ. What makes it possible for us to serve Christ? Then we're going to be looking at the power that enables us to serve Christ. We're going to be looking at the place of service for Christ, the purpose or the reasons why we serve Christ, and then we're going to be talking about proving or testing our service for Christ. So let's stand together as we read Psalm 100. I'm not sure who wrote this, but it is a psalm of praise. It's a very short psalm. Let's read it together. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, we come into your presence with thanksgiving. We come with a heart of service and hands ready to worship you, to serve you in whatever capacity you guide us into. Oh God, make us a church that is not just one minister, but 100 ministers, God. Make us a church that is diligent and that is willing. Lord, help us to be dependable in our lives, in every area, not simply in the service to our brothers, but the service to our family, the service to our job, our co-workers. God, make us a church that reflects the beauty of Jesus Christ and conform us to your image, we ask this year. We also ask, Father, that this year we would have a time to inspect our lives, to see where we are in our fight for service for you. It's so easy to serve self and so difficult to serve you. And yet your yoke is easy, your burden is light. And so help us to take that yoke upon us and serve you with all of our might. By your grace and for your glory, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, I want to ask you a question that will reveal your heart. It's a heart-probing question. And here it is. Are you a servant or are you a spectator? You can't be both. Are you a servant or are you a spectator? In our modern day, many people are looking for a place where they can be entertained, even in our churches. Many people come to church to be fed, but strangely are so spiritually dead. They come to satisfy their itching ears. And I want to ask you if God has called you to himself this morning. And if he has, you know that God has not called us out of darkness to entertain us, but he has called us to be ministers in the body of Christ. He has called us, each one of us, to be priests before him, to always be standing at the place of service, working for the kingdom, yielded to him in every good work, to give our lives wholly, completely, as a living sacrifice for him. And I want to ask you, are you a spectator or are you a servant? Are you just standing around watching everyone else work, sweat? Or are you working yourself? Have you taken on hard responsibilities for the glory of Christ and for the good of his body? A spectator is defined as a hearer of the word only. Are you just a hearer or are you a doer of the work, as James says? We are not called to attend the church. We are called to be the church. Amen? The church is not a building, but a living organism. And God has called us out of darkness to serve Him. We are to serve the Lord with gladness, with an inner, wholehearted commitment to the Lord. And this morning we're going to be looking at how we can have that servant's heart and that diligent hand. You don't need advice. There's not a lack of advice for serving yourself, is there? Turn on the television, everything you should have your way, do it exactly the way you want it. But Christ doesn't call us that way. He calls us not to serve ourselves, but to serve the needs of others. To be uncomfortable, to be put out, to get our schedule way out of whack just because we love each other. To go out of our way to serve each other. And He says, as you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. How can we be a servant for Christ? How can we be a church, not of one minister, but of 100 ministers? Well, this morning, I want you to see this in Psalm 100. And we're just going to look at a few verses here. Psalm 100. We read in verse 1, I will sing of the mercy... Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. First of all, I want you to see what makes service for Christ possible. There's a new song in the heart of this psalmist. There's something inwardly that is radically different. There is joy, there is gladness, and there is a willingness to serve. And I want you to see that the word serve here means work, worshiping God in our work. This is the idea of the word serve. It is an act of worship. It could be translated worship. But it's well translated serve, because the idea is worshiping God with all of our strength. It's worshiping God and loving God with diligence, with strength, with service. It's a worship to God, and it's made possible, first of all, by salvation. Why do you have a willingness, a yieldedness, a desire to use your strength for God, for God's glory? It is because He has given you a new heart. He has changed your heart. The Scripture says in Ephesians 2 that we're saved by grace. Amen? Aren't you glad for that? Not by works, lest any man should boast. But it also says we're saved by grace, but we're saved unto what? We're saved unto good works. We're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which He hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You see, God has given us the willingness to serve in our hearts through salvation, through grace. And He has prepared a diligent hand and a servant's heart within us. He's made us His new creation that we would work and worship God. We should worship God in all of our work. This is possible through salvation, through the new birth, through regeneration. It's all of Christ beginning to end. But serving Christ not only is possible because of salvation, serving Christ requires great sacrifice. In other words, it requires hard work. Hard work on your part. Sacrificial hard work. If you're going to serve Christ, you're going to need to follow the voice of the Spirit in your heart and not your own flesh. Your own flesh is going to be constantly crying out for comfort, for ease, for a little bit of entertainment. But we don't have time for all that, do we? Christ is coming. And God has a work for us to do. We need to listen to the voice of the Spirit of God in us. Just look to the example of Christ. Matthew 20 and verse 28, if you want to write this down. The Bible says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom for many. I don't think if you were to go into the house of our Lord Jesus Christ that He would be entertaining Himself. I don't think that He'd be wasting His time, not one iota. I think that He'd be serving. And He said, I came not to be ministered, not to be served, not for everyone else to serve me, to do what I want to do, but I came to serve. I came to be a servant. I came to give my life, pour out my life as a ransom for many. How about you? Have you poured out your life? As Paul said, I'm ready to be offered in 2 Timothy chapter 4. The idea is, I'm ready to pour out my life as an oblation to God. Have you become a living sacrifice? If you're saved, this is the desire of your heart, and you will constantly fight for that kind of dedication and service in your life. Sacrifice. I'm telling you that it's hard to go witnessing, isn't it? It's hard on the flesh. It's humiliating at times to be turned down. It's hard to come here for the deacons to come here and wade through all of the receipts and get them right and make sure everything is in order. But listen, Christ didn't come here to be served. He came here to serve, and we're to follow in His steps. How about you? Are you serving Christ? What are you doing to edify the body of Christ? Are you just sitting in the pew to be fed? Or are you coming here to serve and build up the body of Christ in every little area of service? Christ calls us to great sacrifice in our salvation. He calls us unto good works. And He calls us unto great humility. I want you to look at Matthew. Just turn over to Matthew 23 and verse 11 and 12. Verses 11 and 12. Serving Christ means that you must forget yourself. You must forget all honor. You must look at yourself as the smallest runt of the bunch. The one they always say, you do it. No, you do it. He's the little guy. He gets stuck with all the menial jobs. You see, on the day that we stand before Christ, our greatness will not be measured by all of our attainments. Our greatness will be measured by the menial things we were willing to do for Jesus Christ. The small things, being faithful in the little things. Look at what Matthew says in chapter 23, verse 11. But he that is greatest among you, these are the words of Jesus, he that is greatest among you shall be what? Your servant. And whoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. You want to know what greatness is? Greatness is being willing to wash your brother and your sister's feet. It's being willing to do the most menial thing for somebody. To build up their faith in Christ. It's to be faithful, to be responsible. To put the weight of responsibility on you and not say, well, so-and-so will take care of it. Well, I'll get so-and-so to take care of this or that. No, you do it. You take responsibility for the work. Responsibility is sorely needed, not only in our society. We all agree on that, amen? I mean, nobody wants to take responsibility for anything. But I want to tell you, responsibility is sorely lacking even in our church. And each of us needs to serve the Lord with what? Gladness. We need to be faithful in the little things, saying, what a joy, what a privilege it is to serve Jesus Christ. It requires great sacrifice, great humility. And it's not based, greatness is not based on your ability or your personality. It's not based on how rich you are, how many people you know, or your popularity. Greatness in the kingdom of God is measured by your service to Jesus Christ. How about you? Are you willing to say, you know what, I'm willing to do any task. I don't care what it is. I am willing to do absolutely anything. I may not have time, but I'll make time. I may not exactly like this, but I'm going to be glad in my service for the Lord. Amen? That's the kind of spirit that every Christian must have. This is the kind of life that pleases God. This is the kind of life that is conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. I mean, are you willing to take full responsibility and commit to whatever you do? If it's working in the nursery, you know what that means? You don't tell the head of the nursery to find somebody to work for you. You find somebody to work for you yourself. take responsibility. If you're a Sunday school teacher, you don't tell Brother Mike, "Hey, I can't make it this week." No. You are a lazy servant for Christ. You're a lazy servant. I'm just telling you what the Scripture says. I'm speaking the truth in love. I love you. That's why I'm telling you this. You need to hear this. Listen to what the Proverbs say. Proverbs 6 and verse 6. "Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Which having no guide, no overseer, no Sunday school director or nursery coordinator or ruler." Sorry, I added those few extra things. "Provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest." Consider the ant. Even the ants do this without anyone telling them what to do. What about you? Where is your place of service in the body of Christ? Do you need somebody to call you every time for men's prayer breakfast, for ladies' assemblies, for the ladies' Bible study? Or will you simply be willing to commit to say, "I'm willing to go, I'm willing to serve, I'm willing to come, I'm willing to encourage my brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ"? You know, every quarter I get a phone call, "Pastor, we are really low on Sunday school teachers." And there is some of you here who you can teach Sunday school and you never have. And I don't understand it. I do not understand it. We have some who are new in the faith, that have a willing heart, that have no idea how to teach, and they're teaching. And praise God for that, because they're growing in Jesus Christ and they're being a blessing. But you should never say no to teaching. It doesn't take much to teach a child, does it? You should never say no. You should be willing to come and to teach. You should take that responsibility. Commit to it wholeheartedly. Because we're not going to be here forever, as we're very all well aware. Well, we've seen the possibility of service for Christ. It's made possible by the Lord who changes our heart, who puts the Spirit of the Lord in us, who causes us to walk in His precepts. You know what that means? He puts the Spirit of service in our hearts. He puts a servant's heart in us. Isn't that glorious? But secondly, I want you to see the power of service for Christ. Look again at Psalm 100. It says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." Yesterday, something really wonderful happened. Doesn't matter what it was, but I jumped up in my office and I said, "Yahoo!" And my daughter, and I was kind of jumping up and down, and my daughters came in, they said, "Daddy, what's going on? You're so happy." Well, I was making a joyful noise. And the Scripture says we should have that inward enthusiasm for service for God. We should be able to say, "Yes, that's exactly what I want to do. I want to give my life away to Jesus Christ for Him to use it however He wants. I want to be a slave. I want to be a servant to Christ." And here we see the power. Here it is. Verse 2. "Serve the Lord with" what? "Gladness. Come before His presence with singing." Verse 4. "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name." I'll tell you, when you have enthusiasm, nothing is hard to do. When you've got a joy about your service, it makes everything easy. The word "gladness" is a reference to your heart attitude. It's the idea, the attitude that says, "I'm joyful, I'm ready to serve, I'm eager, I'm expectant, I'm anticipating, I'm enthusiastic." That's the idea of the word "gladness." As Nehemiah 8:10 says, "The joy of the Lord is" what? "My strength." Let's say that together. "The joy of the Lord is my strength." You want to know what the power of service for Christ is? It's joy. It's gladness. Do you know how dirty and ugly your life was before you were saved? You remember that? I want to tell you something. God loved you so much that He gave His only Son to die for you. If that is not something to be joyful about, I don't know what is. You've been forgiven of much. Now serve the Lord much. Serve Him with all your heart. Give your heart away to Him. Whatever He wants you to do, be willing to do it. And that means that we serve the Lord, number one, with our whole heart. gladness. Gladly, fully, committing to love the Lord with all of our strength. Look at Colossians 3. Colossians 3, turn over there. Verse 23. I can tell you that we're not going to get through all 5 points this morning. But we want to take our time and study this and get this in our hearts. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23. Paul says, "Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." We're supposed to do everything heartily, wholeheartedly. Everything we've got, we're to give all. Not just, oh, I'll do the minimum and just get it done and go to the next activity. No, we're to give our all to everything that God puts before us. Because we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And God has ordained that we do these things in our life. But not only are we supposed to serve the Lord with our whole heart, we're called to serve the Lord without delay. If you know God wants you to do something, what are you waiting around to do it? Or as Gary Johnson would say, was known to say, I have it written down here, if you don't have time to do it right the first time, what makes you think you'll have time to do it again? Do it right. Do it with your whole heart. Do it without delay. Do it right the first time. Joshua told the people who were wavering, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, that were on the other side of the flood, of the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, what? We'll serve the Lord. Don't delay in making your choice for the Lord. Serve Him. Elijah said to the waving Israelites, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. Hey, I want to ask you, who is God? The one true and living God. Jesus Christ, the Father, the Spirit. That is the one true God. If He is the one true God, why are you serving someone else? Why are you serving yourself or anything else? Serve Him. And our Lord Jesus Christ said this, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot do it. You cannot serve God and serve this world's goods. So are you waiting for another time to serve the Lord? Are you waiting for another opportunity to jump in to service for Jesus Christ? This is the only life you have. Every day that ticks by, you will never gain it again. It's gone forever. What are you waiting for? Serve Jesus Christ today without delay. Serve Him wholeheartedly and serve Him faithfully in the littlest of things. Because on the day that we see Him, in Matthew 25:23, we are going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. I want to ask you, are you committed to Christ? Are you committed to be faithful in the littlest of things? The most basic of things. Let me show you how you can start. Be faithful to Christ, number one, in church attendance. Okay? That means Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Do you know I committed to do that as a brand new Christian, and it hasn't hurt me one bit? I know you're shocked. I know you're absolutely floored. It has not hurt me at all. In fact, I did it even at the expense of getting a lower grade in Greek, when all of my fellow Bible majors in college were skipping out on Wednesday, were skipping out on Sunday school, were skipping out on Sunday night. They had to go to Sunday morning. That was required. They were SMOs, Sunday morning only. That's a joke. But anyway, are you a SMO? But you'll never forget that now. But listen, when they were all doing that, and hey, noble motives, right? They wanted to get a higher grade in their Greek. They wanted to get a better grade in theology. All the while, what did Christ die for, brethren? He died for the church. And so I decided I would be faithful. I would be faithful to go no matter what, no matter what my grades were, no matter what my job was. I always told them I cannot work on Sundays and I cannot work on Wednesdays. And I know that's not always possible, but as much as is in me was, I tried to do that. It's not always possible, but as much as we can, we ought to do that. Be faithful in the smallest of things. Be faithful. I can remember my wife, and I have great sympathy with all of you who have little children. It's hard being a mom, isn't it? It's hard to get here. It's hard to get to church. And I know all of you, and we got more every year. We have more and more children, and that's wonderful. That's great. But having a child does not excuse us from being present in the local church. Amen? That's a hard one to say amen to. But I want to tell you, when my wife, when we were in Spain, there was no overflow room. There was no place to take your baby to feed him. My wife came. She could have stayed home. I could have made every excuse. She came to the services. And she didn't see anybody during the services, but it was before and after. And everybody was so glad to see her. She never would have missed a service. And you know where she nursed her baby? In a smelly printing press room. It was dirty, filthy. But she did that faithfully. Not because she wanted to punch her card in for, oh, I'm here, I did my time. No, because she loved the brethren. She loved Rossi and Manolo, who some of you met. She loved Jesus and others that were there. She wanted to be there and encourage them. And young mothers, I want to plead with you during this time in your life. It's easy to make excuses to keep your children home and you to stay home. And sometimes it's necessary and you need to. But every time you are able, come. And if you want to see a good example, look at my wife. She's just had a little baby and she has hardly missed. When she has to, she will miss. And I'll tell her, you need to stay home. But that's a very rare occasion. She will come and she will be faithful. And I plead with you, be faithful. Because you're not here to punch a card and say, I did my duty. You're here to encourage the brethren. And we are sad when you're not here. We're wondering where you are. We're praying for you. We're wondering if everything's okay. And I hope you will hear that with love. And I just want you to think, if anybody could have made an excuse to not to come to the services last week, it was Mrs. Judy Johnson. And yet she was here early for choir, for orchestra. She sang a special to us. Brethren, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we've got to be faithful. And so I'm not just picking on the young mothers. We can all make excuses. Amen? We can all make excuses. Somebody told me 30 is the new 40. You know, when your back starts hurting, when things go out, and you feel that you're getting closer to the grave, it's easy to make an excuse not to come to the services, isn't it? And yet, when Gary was alive, I saw him hobbling. I saw him in pain, and he was in a lot of pain most of the time, more than any of us can imagine. Sometimes that leg was just absolutely throbbing. Did you ever hear him complain? Did you ever hear him complain one time? Not one time. And he was here every time. And yet we stay home if we sneeze. Well, I guess I better stay home. Means I gotta really, you know, just make myself watch the Chargers game. You know, sorry, Brother Mike. Watch them beat the Colts, I want to be invited over to dinner for that comment, please. Oh, listen. Also, being faithful means having consideration for those around you in church. It means having consideration for those around you in church. And you know me, I'm a one-track mind when I'm preaching. I don't, you know, the whole building could be on fire and I'm going to finish my message. But I know it's hard for those of you who are in the services when there are distractions. And those of us who have small children, myself included, when there is overabundance of, kids are kids, and sometimes you need to take them out of the service. You don't need to keep them in the service. We do have an overflow room. If that's taken up, we have rooms upstairs in my office you can use. But listen, don't wait it out. if your child needs some loving, tender care, then remove yourself so that the Word of God will not fall on distracted ears. Okay? And you need to measure that. I don't know when that is, but as a mother, God's given you wisdom. As a father, you know when that is. You just very discreetly go to the back or go to the side and take them to another room. And we need to just be considerate about of those around us. Another thing we need to do, lots of application in this message. Another way we can be respectful is by being on time to services. Notice I started on time this morning. I by God's grace, we're going to do that. We're going to start on time. And I would ask you to be on time. That doesn't mean walking in the door at 11 o'clock or 10 o'clock for Sunday school. If you're here for Sunday school, you're not going to be late for the morning service, by the way. But get here on time. Start on time. As Gary used to say, if you're not 15 minutes early, you're late. And he lived by that. He was a faithful man. You want to see a good example of a faithful servant of Christ? He was always 15 minutes early for everything. I was the first person. He was always the second person here. And sometimes he beat me here. And he always would say, good evening, when I walked in the door. I tell you, You should be a faithful servant for Jesus Christ. Get here early and enjoy the fellowship. You know what? You might just get here and might have to talk with another person who's also here, and you might get blessed. Beware of faithfulness. It might encourage you. It might actually bless your life. Oh, listen, we need to be faithful. Tonight we're going to look at the place of service, which is, in the Old Testament, was the temple. It was really revolved around the temple. But in our time, in the New Testament day, it is the local church. And I want to bring you through 1 Corinthians tonight. I want to take you through even what the Lord says in His Great Commission, that our service should flow in and flow out of the local assembly of believers. And I want you to see how you're going to find your place in the local church, your place of service, so that you can have a servant's heart and a diligent hand. And then we're also going to talk about the purpose for our service and the proving of our service. We're going to get a glimpse of Judgment Day, of the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to see about our rewards for service tonight. So please come back. But tonight, or this morning as we close, let's stand together with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I want to ask you, has God spoken to your heart in this message? I kind of shot a double-barrel shotgun this morning as far as application, but I'm pretty sure it hit just about everybody, including me. And God has convicted your heart about service this morning. You're not where you ought to be, and He says, step up to the plate. It's time to bat. It's time to serve me. I'm ready to serve. If that is you, God's spoken to you about a specific place of service in your life that you need to step up to, or at least to be willing to do what He wants you to do. If that is you this morning, as a believer, you say, I want to do what God wants me to do. Would you raise your hand?